Welcome to After Dark with Rob and Andrew on America Out Loud, available on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or Pandora. Or as always, head on over to AmericaOutLoud.com and check out the articles and podcasts, and please share those on social media. We have a lot of great writers and podcasts up on AmericaOutLoud.com. Really excited for the show tonight. We've got congressional candidate out of New Jersey, Billy Primpa, joining us, and we're going to talk to him about his run for Congress. Just recently, Rob, we have seen an infrastructure bill filled with pork at the same time as inflation is going up. Gas prices are at a record high, and Biden is basically begging OPEC to lower prices. We are seeing illegals being let in at the border, and we're not saying we don't want immigrants in, but we want them coming in legally, which is not what we are seeing in the Biden administration. Already over a million illegal immigrants have came in just this calendar year. Rob, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good, Andrew. I'm glad that all of our folks listening are joining us tonight. And I got to say, I agree with you, what you're saying as far as Biden's infrastructure bill that's being shoved down our throats. And I can't even necessarily say that it's being shoved down our throats, considering we have quite a few Republicans who are rallying the cause, including Mitch McConnell and Lindsey Graham. Now, I would expect this of Mitt Romney and some of the other rhinos. But Lindsey Graham, Mitch McConnell, I don't get it. I don't understand it. Now, they're saying that they're doing this. There's a reason behind it, and that they're not going to vote for the second bill. The moment you vote for a bill, the moment you put it out there, and people think that they're going to get it, they're going to want it. Look at what happened with the shutdowns. We started giving people money. People wanted more money. Now people don't want to go back to work. So you can't tell me that voting for this and pushing it through is a good thing. It's a bad thing. And did they really look at it? Look at some of the pork belly issues that are in this bill. One thing that really stands out is this entire pre-K for 2 and 3 year olds. Now, Andrew, you know how I feel about that. The government getting access to our children at such a young age. What do? They indoctrinate. They make our kids little activists. Look at what we have going on right now with our kids. Look at society as a whole. A lot of the people that are out there pushing this CRT and a lot of these other crazy things that men can have babies, men can have periods, has this origin in the school system. Because the teachers that are pushing this, when they were in school, they were taught that. Little did we know it was being pushed. But all eyes were opened with the shutdown. Kids had to stay at home and be taught. Parents started listening. They started listening closely. And then a light bulb went off. And they realized, wait a minute. These are not our values. This is not what I want my kid to learn. I don't want my kid to be taught to hate this person or to think that they're better than the next person. That's segregation 101. That's what Black people experienced. And now we're going back to that? Hold on, stop, put the brakes on. But that's what's happening. That's what's happening right here in the United States of America. And they're trying to justify it from the federal level. A government through private companies and corporations. Now, needless to say, the corporations probably don't buy into it, but in their eyes, we can make money off this. We can keep them off our backs. We'll just say that we're woke also, and we'll go along for the ride so that they don't come rallying or protesting at our door. Folks, it's wrong. And in addition to that, love of country, the hate that people have for this country. We saw this clearly during the Olympics, when our own Olympians were turning their back on the flag, the American flag, the country that gave them the opportunity to compete. But they say, oh no, this country's racist. This country's holding me back. How were you able to compete? Our Americans, people that were born here, you waited all this time, all these years, just to get on a big stage and to show your ugliness, to show your resentment for a country that you have people at our southern border trying to come across so that they can participate in, but you're saying that the country is racist, and you got people trying to come over here. I hardly think, Andrew, they're trying to come over here for some of that racism that we say is so systemic within the country. But oh yeah, Some of our athletes, they're kneeling down, taking the knee, standing on the stage with an attitude, with their backs turned. But then they want to get up and say, it's systemic racism. But by the way, let those immigrants from Mexico come across. What kind of sense does that make? It makes absolutely no sense. But you know what the highlight was during the Olympics? When I saw the Olympian, Tamara Mensah-Stock, come out with tears in her eyes, celebrating being an American, saying that she loved this country, that this is the only country, this is her country. I thought, that's a true Olympian. That's a true American. She should take center stage. We should devote all of our time and energy on her. God forbid, CNN didn't do that. Neither did the Washington Post or MSNBC, because they were too busy looking at the negativity. But I don't care about those folks. I want to celebrate someone like Tamara Mensah-Stock, whose father was a legal immigrant from Guyana, West Africa, celebrating this country, because that's what it's about. As you said earlier, we have on our show Billy Prumpa, who's running for Congress in New Jersey's 9th Congressional District. Guess what? His father is a legal immigrant who came here the right way. Hard work, determination, and look at where it will take you. Billy served in the United States Air Force, and now he's looking to give back to this great country. Why can't we have more people like Billy here celebrating the values and the traditions of America? I think he's only 31 years old, but he is ready to put his hat in the ring and go the distance. Billy, how are you?
How's it going, everybody? Rob, Andrew, thank you for having me on. It's a pleasure.
Well, we're glad to have you on, Billy. Just looking at your story, looking at your background, I told Andrew, I'm like, we've got to have this young man on tonight. We want people on that will make a difference in our country, that are willing to get out there and fight. So, Billy, what got you interested in wanting to run for Congress in New Jersey?
So politics is something that I not in a million years ever thought I'd be involved in. You know, this is also my second run at Congress. My first go was in 2020. And initially, what really made me want to get involved in running was actually showing up at a Trump rally in Wildwood, New Jersey. It was the first time I'd seen anything of that caliber, of that size politically in the state of New Jersey, let alone a Republican being able to do this in New Jersey. It was a super cold, freezing day, yet the president was able to bring people from all different walks of life. Like, you know, I met lots of libertarians, Republicans, independents, even lots of Democrats, surprisingly, that even came out to hear what the president had to say. And seeing something like that, it really got me to realize, like, wow, there's a lot more Republicans and conservatives than I thought there are in the state of New Jersey. And, you know, while I was there and I was just enjoying the rally, I was getting a chance to hear from a lot of the people in the rally and hearing some of their opinions and their thoughts and the direction that they saw the country going in. You know, I thought for many years to myself that if I was ever to get involved in politics, it would have to be a very significant reason for me to go out and do it. And I've seen the direction that my district has gone. And for example, in the 9th district, I've seen it go downhill almost my entire life, and to the point where I've completely tuned out politics. Lots of people from my community, and for those that are not familiar with my background, I'm from Paterson, New Jersey. It's the third largest city in the state of New Jersey. It's very densely populated, but it's also a Democrat stronghold that's been controlled by Democrats for well over 60 years, with the incumbent having over 40 years of control over the district. So if there's one thing that's always been constant here, it's always been my opponent. He was mayor of the city prior to being congressman, then he was an assemblyman before that, and he was also on the Board of Education on top of that, making millions and millions of dollars, becoming one of the richest people in Congress currently to this day. And his entire life, he's been involved in politics. And seeing how the education that we have in our community has gone downhill, we're to the point where less than 37% of our students are graduating with full proficiency and understanding in all matters of mathematics and reading comprehension. They're not passing to the degree that they should be, yet we're paying crazy amounts of money in taxes. The violence in our community has gone through the roof, and they're pushing very radical policies like bail reform, where they're allowing criminals to go out, commit crimes, come right back into our streets, and cause more chaos. You know, and our opponent is, I mean, the opponent that I'm running against, he's turned his back on the law enforcement in our community, which also has led to an exasperation and crime in places like Patterson, where it's also started to spew into the other cities across our district. And the longer I started to sit back and watch this, the more I started to see that nobody's coming to save us. Nobody's really going to call out the nonsense for what it really is. And I'm only 31 years old. I'm a very young guy. And I said, hey, at the end of the day, it's my generation that's going to have to pick up the pieces and carry the torch for the next generation moving forward. If I don't say anything, or if I don't get involved in this race, we're going to keep kicking the same exact can down the road. And for someone like me to get involved in this race and run even as a Republican, it was not just a pretty bold move, because it's just something that people don't actually do out here. But I've seen what the Democrats have done to our community. I've seen what they've done to our state, and they don't actually have the best interest of our community at heart. So I ran hard on the policies that I believed, and I ran hard as a Republican in 2020. And even in that race, I got more votes for a Republican than anyone has ever gotten in the past 35 years in the 9th District. And I think the reason why that is not just because I'm young, but because I came out bold, I came fiercely, I stood completely against the machine, both the Democratic Party and even the establishment Republican Party that we have in the 9th District. And I came with solutions and plans to actually make our district better. You know, while everyone's talking about how they want school choice, I wanted to take school choice to another level. I want to bring businesses and entrepreneurs that have many, many years of experience. I want to have them working hand in hand with our schools so that they can teach our children and teach them the trades that we're lacking in right now. There's not enough people getting involved in the trades, getting involved in accounting, getting involved in the IT field. A lot of this stuff is being outsourced, and we're bringing people in from outside of the United States to fill these voids, while our generation has no clue what they're even going to do to make it through their life with a lot of the college debt that we've got going on. So why don't we prepare these students before they even get to that point, so that by the time they graduate high school, they have the skills necessary so that they can either start something with their friends, to work for a company as an apprentice, or worst comes to worst, they go to college, and if anything else fails, they still have a skill to fall back on. We have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of vacant factories in the 9th District that are being dilapidated. Nobody's taking advantage of them. And we have huge manufacturing companies that are leaving the United States, that are leaving places like New Jersey. And Patterson, for many years, was a manufacturing powerhouse where lots of high-paying jobs came out of here, and it put food on the table for lots of people here. I don't understand why it's something that no one's ever really thought of. I think that what we need to do is we need to turn these areas in the 9th District into super opportunity zones where companies like DeSalt, GE, Toyota can come and take control of these vacant and even derelict buildings, give them a tax incentive to actually hire people within our community and actually pick up the burden with some of these buildings and create jobs that otherwise wouldn't have existed. Because it's way too easy for these businesses to go out and get workers from somewhere else. Well, we have great talent. We have people that are motivated and people that want opportunity, because that's the biggest problem that's lacking in the 9th District. There is no opportunity. So when there is no opportunity, people turn to drugs. They turn to crime. They turn to violence. And the Democrats aren't going to do anything to try and change this, because this is how they get their funding. They get their funding from the governor. They get their funding from the federal government to just keep kicking the can down the road without actually providing solutions. The people feel like they don't have a voice. I want to go out there and be that voice. And I wanted to bring these solutions to the table. And people are beginning to see that the time for new ideas has come. It's been long overdue for a very, very long time. And now that that time is here, there's people from all walks of life, Democrat, Republican, Libertarian, all across the board, that are coming out in droves in support of a lot of the ideas that I'm talking about and the things that I want to do for the community, because nobody else is choosing to do this. These are all common sense things. I'm not a politician. I'm not someone who's built my entire career on pushing legislation and talking like the most sophisticated person in the room, like many of the politicians that have controlled this community for a long time. People are disenfranchised and they just don't care anymore. They want to hear actual solutions. They want to hear an action plan. They want to see a roadmap that's actually going to take us to the next level. And that's what I intend to do, you know, and I'm still young. I have plenty of time under my belt to actually get these things accomplished. But even with the time that I have under my belt, I don't intend on being in Congress for more than 10 years. I'm looking to push for a plan that I call, that I've coined it, the 8-10-12 plan. I'm a very, very firm supporter of term limits. You know, my opponent's been here 24 years in Congress and absolutely nothing has changed. So what I want is I want to see 8 years for the president like we currently have. 10 years is the maximum term for Congress people, and 12 years is the maximum term for senators. Nobody should be in Congress, Senate, or even in the presidency for much longer than necessary, because that's how we get people like Nancy Pelosi. That's how we get people like my opponent, Bill Pascrell, like Chuck Schumer, people who've made their entire careers making millions as politicians. We also got to get money out of politics as well, too. My opponent, his son, Bill Pascrell III, is a multi-million dollar lobbyist. He's been a lobbyist for many, many years, to the point where he's made so much money as a lobbyist in D.C. that when he had a job working with Passaic County, he was fired because it was far more profitable for him to be in D.C. selling access to his father than to actually do what's right and work on behalf of the community and work on behalf of the county that his father is supposed to represent. I don't believe that anyone in government should be related to lobbyists or even be getting into cahoots with lobbyists. This person has a straight up familial tie and has been using this to enrich himself for decades. This is systemic political corruption. If there's anything else that I could use to demonstrate it, that's what it is. They've created a system to enrich themselves and a system to keep the power within the family and within all of their networks. They keep giving their friends and family jobs while the people suffer, and they're getting rich on the backs of the many African Americans and Hispanics in this community that have been taken advantage of. They're getting rich off of us. And I look to get into office and put a complete end to that. This is why I decided to get involved.
Billy, you're right on point. Everything that you've said, and we need people like you there. Fresh blood, young blood. You sound as if though you are a seasoned politician with the things that you're saying. And if you're able to get Billy Pascrell, who's been there since the cows came home, get him out of there, who's just a career politician, making money, allowing his son to make money as a lobbyist, that would be wonderful. Why has no one ever done anything like this? Because they don't care. The politicians that we have had, you look around us, you look at these liberal states and cities. You have some states that are conservative, but the cities within the states, there's a possibility that they're Democrat. And you look at the 50 and 60 plus years they have been in control. And what have they done? Absolutely nothing. What have they done for Blacks? Absolutely nothing but sing the same old song that we will overcome, that we're going to do this. We can't do this because this person was stopping us. And now they've come up with this crazy idea of blaming white people for all the ills of the world. That they've always done it. You know, so, oh, the white man did this, the white man did this, white. They've always done that, sung that song. But now they see, hey, there's a way that we can go in here and change it up so that we could victim blame them or victimize and say that they're the oppressor rather, and that they're oppressing us so that they'll let us come in and we'll get these jobs, although we don't know what we're doing. But we'll get the jobs and we'll tell them that they're bad if they don't give us the job. That won't do a darn thing. It creates more strife, more segregations. A couple of years from now or 10 years down the road, we're going to look back at this moment and say, what the heck did we do? Once again, we got it wrong, as opposed to working together and saying, let's stop, let's redraw this, and let's get it right. And the people that are acquiescing to this, the white liberals, the worst liberals that are out there, even Van Jones, who's a Democrat, said that Black people need to be concerned about those Democrats that voted for Hillary Clinton because absolutely, they're extremely dangerous. They're the ones that are out there pushing all of the CRT, whereas they're the ones who are right in the trenches creating all this drama. They don't want to give up any power. But they're doing this so that the masses won't point the finger at them and say that they're the ones who are causing all of this. Going back to Bill Pascrell and his son, look at what's happening here. He makes money. His son makes money. Who does that remind you of? Joe Biden. his son.
That's exactly, Hunter Biden. That's exactly what they're like. And that's why I call Bill Pascrell basement Bill Pascrell, because that's what he does. Just like how Joe Biden hid in the basement during the entire 2020 election. My opponent did the exact same thing in 2020. He avoided me at all costs. He hid from me with every opportunity that he could, because with every candidate that he's ran against before in the past, he uses the same exact strategy that the Democrats tend to use. They'll use the race card and they'll try and use it as an opportunity. I'm a supporter of the minorities. I support the African Americans. I support the Hispanics, you know, Black Lives Matter. And they'll say all the things that sound really good, but I see right through the nonsense. He claims to be from Paterson, New Jersey. He's not here. He's not living in his multi-million dollar home. You know, he's living out in DC collecting checks from his big time donors, but he's not out here in these communities. He doesn't care about what's going on out here. I legit have friends, many friends that I've grown up that have been shot and killed and murdered in this community because of the horrible policies that he's putting in place. While he panders to people like AOC and the squad, and he goes out and says things like, we need to defund our police, even after the police have supported him for well over 24 years of his entire career. 2020 was the first time that the PBA did not back him at all, because they saw that he really does not support the community. He doesn't want the communities to be safe. He wants the violence to continue, and he's out of touch. So he's supporting all of the nonsense that the super far left radicals and the socialists are starting to believe in. And he just supports all this stuff because that's how the money comes in. But he doesn't genuinely believe this kind of stuff. He doesn't genuinely care about Black Lives Matter. This is why he didn't want to debate me. He didn't want to talk to me about these real issues, because this is his bread and butter. The other Democrats are going to try and tear each other apart and say how much they care about the next person. But then when a legitimate African-American from the Fourth Ward, one of the most dangerous wards in the city, and I've lived here my entire life, and I've watched as he turned this place into a hellhole, he's not going to want to talk to somebody like me, because I see his policies firsthand.
You will expose him for what he is.
That's the truth, though. He's already exposed himself. I didn't have to expose him. He exposed himself. It's just that nobody has actually had the audacity to stand up to the machine and stand up to him and call him out for what he's actually doing.
Exactly, to call him out, because like you said, the policies that they have created have destroyed, have decimated these communities, especially the Black communities. And look at what they're doing now, defunding the police. Who will suffer? And we see this firsthand right now. Who's suffering from defunding the police? Who's suffering from police leaving the forces? Black communities, Asian communities. No police to do the arrest, and the crime is rampant. But they're telling us, don't look at this. Cori Bush, oh, don't see that. I'm trying to help the community. I want a social worker to go out and try to resolve this. Meanwhile, people are being killed in broad daylight. There is no shame. People don't care because they know that the police will not do anything. So Billy, on day one, if elected, what change? What is one of the first things or top two things that you would want to propose?
The number one thing that I would like to propose is the education reform program, because I believe that is the number one way to reverse a lot of the damage that has been put in place in our inner cities. While they're trying to add all kinds of nonsense to our curriculum and teach our children nonsense, they haven't even fixed the existing curriculum. And I feel the best way to do that is, if the schools aren't going to do good, then we need to make the curriculum better by adding opportunity to our education system, by bringing business owners into our schools, because when the students have opportunities, the children have a future and they have other things that they can fall back on. And not only this, but this will also lead to higher wages. It'll lead to a better education and it'll lead to a better future overall. Someone's going to have to fill these jobs. Our generation needs to pick up the slack. We need people to build the next bridges, to come up with the next antivirus software, to come up with the new medical breakthrough, to come up with the new financial breakthrough for our communities. We are the people that are going to have to do this. And unless somebody fills that gap, we're going to keep kicking the same can down the road, overblowing our education budget, spending literally millions of dollars in taxes while opportunity doesn't go up. Opportunity is hands down the best way to change and get people outside of the poverty trap by turning our schools into information superhighways and career pathways. It creates a shortcut to prosperity that'll change, and it'll be something that'll be able to ripple all across the United States. That's the first thing that I'd like to put in. The second thing I'd like to do is I'd like to push for legislation to to prevent politicians from being able to profit from their seat, to prevent situations like what Bill Pascrell and his son have been able to do for the past 24 years, because we've got to get the money out of politics. When we have money in politics, they control us and not the other way around. The people are the ones that are supposed to control the government. Right now, we have corporations, we have businesses, we have lobbyists that are calling all the shots, and people feel like they're hopeless, to the point that they're even using this vote by mail system. They did all kinds of nefarious activity in Patterson in this past election, both in council races, as well as in the state races, and in the, even the presidential races. They're going around selling people. People are going out selling ballots at gas stations while the Democrats are going around and collecting it. And they're allowing ballot harvesting to be a common and normal practice. And it shouldn't be, because when you have money involved in politics, the people lose their voice. That's not going to continue when I get in Congress. So these are the two first things that I'm going to do as soon as I get into office, to reverse the damage that has been put in place. And I'm also going to be working with anyone, not just Republicans, but even if there's a Democrat that has good ideas and they're willing to actually do what's right for the people and not just some kind of agenda or just for their party. I'm looking to work with anyone that is willing to put the American people first, to put the Constitution first, and put the needs of the people above the needs of our own. I don't intend on being in politics longer than the 10 years that I proposed in my 8-10-12 plan. I don't want to be in politics my entire life. I intend to be done with politics by the time I'm 39 years old, and I need to ride off into the sunset and enjoy my life. But until then, I'm going to do everything in my power to fight for the American people, because our entire generation is counting on it.
Absolutely. And if you don't do it, we know what will happen. It will be business as usual for these Democrats. And something has to change, and we need change. Now, something else I want to talk about while we have you here, and that's COVID-19. What are your thoughts as to how the government or your local governor is handling COVID-19 in New Jersey?
Our governor, Governor Murphy, should be locked up. Just like how we have Governor Cuomo, who recently is now stepping down because of the sexual harassment charges. He also buried the deaths, the nursing home deaths, the people that were sent to nursing homes and led to the deaths of tens of thousands between Murphy and Governor Cuomo, that the thousands of deaths that have been put in place. These people are responsible for the murder of many people's friends, family, grandmothers, and they're using it as an opportunity to control the people. They're locking down the state and forcing mandates, and none of these people are doctors. While they're forcing some of my friends that are police officers, that are firefighters, I was just talking with one of my friends who works at St. Joseph's Hospital in Patterson not too long ago, and they're all being forced to take this vaccine or they're going to lose their job. When not too long ago, about a year ago, when these people were putting their lives on the line and fighting on the front lines, trying to take out this COVID virus, they cared about them so much at that point, but now it's become political to the point where they're willing to throw them in the trash and act as if they're nobody because they want them to go and take this experimental choice. If people want to go and get the vaccine, every right to do so. If people don't want to do it and they want to wait for more information to come out, they should have the right to do that. But the last people that they should be using this to be politicized on are the frontline workers, the people that have put their lives on the line for us. And now they're trying to kick us to the curb. Governor Murphy has completely extended his overreach, and he's trying to follow in the exact same footsteps as Joe Biden right now. He's trying to force the masks on our children, forcing them to go into school or forcing them to not be able to even get an education unless they take these vaccines or unless they wear these masks. Neither of these people are doctors, and he's even trying to force that same kind of might on Governor DeSantis out in Florida right now. I believe that the people should have a say in their health, not the government. We've given way too much power to the government, and they're using this virus as an opportunity to steal power away from the people. Just like they're using this infrastructure bill to steal power away from the people. They write these giant bills that sound really good on paper, and they sound like they're here for the American people and they're here to support us, but little does anybody know is that inside that infrastructure bill, they're looking to tax people for every single mile that they drive at a time while inflation is gone through the roof after the Capitol pipeline just got hacked, after the Keystone pipeline completely got decimated and destroyed by Joe Biden. Fuel costs are now through the roof, and now they want to tax us for every single mile that they're driving. This entire presidency Joe Biden has been a complete disaster. And every single one of these horrible governors, like Governor Whitmer, Governor Newsom, Governor Cuomo, or former governor, I should say, Cuomo, Governor Murphy, these people should be ashamed of themselves. And they all need to be held accountable for what they've done to this country.
Yeah, Billy, you are spot on so many things. We are here with Billy Primpa, New Jersey, District 9. Billy, if people want to support your campaign, where is the best spot they could do to do so?
The best spot is by going to www.billyprempa.com. Spread the word, share the word. If you'd like to help us with making phone calls and volunteering, you can also volunteer on the website. If you would like to make a donation to help us continue to get the word out and actually take back the House and flip District 9 in New Jersey and make it red in 2022, please consider making a donation as well, too. You could also do that at billyprempa.com/donate.
That's right. Donate to those conservative candidates. You are tuned in to After Dark with Rob and Andrew, available on America Out Loud via iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or download the America Out Loud app to keep track of all the great shows. We will be back with more on After Dark with Rob and Andrew.
Because of COVID-19, the average American worries about their immune health 4 times a day. That's 112 times per year. To minimize the worries, leading nutritional supplement company, Healthy Cell, created Immune Super Boost, an immune supplement that contains 15 full doses of science-backed nutrients like vitamin C, zinc, elderberry, and echinacea, all in a one-a-day pill-free gel pack. It tastes great, is convenient on the go, and it's more natural too, without chemical binders, fillers, and coatings. Supporting a strong and resilient immune system can be simple. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of Immune Super Boost. That's HealthyCell.com, HealthyCell, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
There was a time when Americans could rely on the Fourth Estate. Well, in these challenging times, the media is both reckless and complicit. AmericaOutLoud.com. Top analysis from leading experts, articles, podcast, video, and 24/7 talk radio. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
And we're back with After Dark with Rob and Andrew. And our guest at the top of the hour, the last segment, was Billy Primpa, who's running for Congress in the state of New Jersey, the 9th Congressional District. And Billy just put it out there as to what he plans on doing and calling out the left as well as the rhinos that are on the right. And we need people like Billy to get out there, throw their hats in the ring and run. He's also a veteran, having served in the United States Air Force from 2009 to 2011, and now he's looking to continue to serve. And he resides in Paterson, New Jersey, an area of New Jersey that's hard hit with crime. And why is that? Well, it's because of the policies of the left, the policies that do nothing but cause harm in the Black community. And Andrew, something that I want to mention, just looking at Billy, just looking at his background, and I saw a tweet that he had put up the other day. And let me just read what he said. Only 28% of the Black Americans age 18 to 44 years old are vaccinated in New York. That means that next month, when the vaccine passport law goes into effect, if 28% of the Black Americans are vaccinated, when this law goes into place that you have to be vaccinated, 72% of Black Americans in New York will be denied basic services. Can't go to work. You can't go to a restaurant. You can't go to a gym. And if you think voter ID is racist, you must also think that vaccine passports are racist. I hear no one speaking out against that, but yet and still they're pushing everyone ought to be vaccinated. It's Trump supporters who aren't vaccinated. They're killing all of us. I don't want to be around them. And when I hear people saying, I don't want to go to work because I don't want to be next to someone who hasn't been vaccinated. Meanwhile, they've been vaccinated, but now they don't want to be next to someone who hasn't been vaccinated. Do you guys see what's happening in this in our society? They are teaching us to discriminate, legal discrimination, so to speak. And this is brought on by whom? The Democrats. The Democrats are coming up with this, not conservatives, Democrats. Democrats are saying, if you're not vaccinated, we don't want you to participate in society. There you go. Never mind about the voter ID, but you must be vaccinated. And we want to see it. We want to see your card. I will say again, as far as a vaccine and being vaccinated, speak with your doctor, your healthcare provider. I do think that the vaccine has its purposes. If you have an underlying condition, you should definitely go in and be vaccinated. High blood pressure, diabetes, cancer, or any other immune issues, get vaccinated. Telling me that a baby needs to be vaccinated? Kids? Where's the science? And now we hear that if you're vaccinated, you could still give the virus to an unvaccinated person. Initially, it was the other way around. So now the vaccinated have become the threat and that you can give it to someone. Now, let's just think about this. What kind of sense does this make? It's not to say that it's not possible, but why do they keep changing it up? So I think that the tweet that Billy put out there is worth thinking about. You can't get an ID to vote, but you better have your card showing that you were vaccinated, or you can't participate in some of the things of society, things that you'd like to do. And something else that I want to throw in there, Andrew, is that in order to be vaccinated, you have to have ID so that they can see who you are, so that they can put it in the system to show that you have been vaccinated. It's just, this is only in America, only in the world of liberals. They step over their policies and their procedures. And that is the reason why there's so much chaos in the land today, because of some of the things that they dream up, some of the things that they put out there. And for the GOP, you guys aren't much better in your messaging. And you need to get out there and start speaking up and pushing back. Now, I know that there are some mayors in some of the red states that are saying, okay, we want our folks to be vaccinated. We want, I get it. I get all that. But you should not force that on other people. And speaking of the GOP, Andrew, I've been getting a lot of hate text messages and emails from the GOP. Why? Because I haven't donated any money to them. And I don't plan on giving them any money. Not at all. Not until they can assure me, Lindsey Graham, Mitch McConnell, that you're going to go and fight for the people and not to fight to keep your seat on the Hill. I mean, messages telling me, oh, are you sure that you're a conservative? Are you sure you're a Republican? This is the extent of the text that they're sending me, asking me, am I sure? Because I haven't sent in the required $5 that they need, that they want. $5 for what? To keep running a rhino? $5 to support someone who's going to be for the infrastructure bill, a bill that no one has really looked at? Do they ever look at the bills? And when President Trump was in office, oh, we can't spend any money. Oh, we've got to keep the money back. Mad Dog Mattis, oh, don't spend the money on the border wall. We need to give our troops raises. I understand that. But when it really counts, you don't want to spend money. But then when it's for some frivolous infrastructure, and there's nothing in the bill, from what I've heard, that goes into details as to infrastructure. When I think infrastructure, I'm thinking of roads and bridges. I'm not thinking about CRT. I'm not thinking about diversity. I'm not thinking about taking diversity to different schools so that we can teach the kids that men can have babies, men can have periods. And there's nothing about it as far as women. It's always on the men, the toxic male. So GOP, you can take your text and your emails and you can shove it, because you're not getting any money from me until I see that you can do your job. No, I will support true candidates, like some of the candidates who've come on here, Laverne Turner. I will support candidates like that. With another candidate out of Seattle.
Joe Kent.
I will support them. But some of these other rhinos, I don't think so. You can forget it, Mitch McConnell. And it's time for you to retire anyway. You've been there too long. Lindsey Graham apparently has this close relationship to the president. But at times, I question his loyalty, because some of the things that he says and that he's doing, like this infrastructure, I can't get beyond the infrastructure, Andrew. I don't know about you, but I just can't get beyond it, because I don't understand why true Republicans would vote for something like that. And I know that they're counting on Joe Manchin and Kristi Sinema that they might not support it. It's like, but you can't count on them because they're Democrats. And I know that there's been a lot of talk about AOC plus three and the progressive wing. They're not going to support it. Yeah, but at the end of the day, they're getting what they want. Green New Deal, all this crazy stuff. They're getting it. Don't be deceived. There's a lot of money, trillions of dollars in this infrastructure bill. And there's, as far as voter integrity, no, they got in the bill that we, you know, we can continue voting by mail, which is what they want, so that they could send out voting ballots to dogs, cats, dead people, and everyone else. And then you can't trace it, set up these voting ballot boxes all over. I mean, completely unstructured. It is as if though it is a banana republic that we're living in. Anyone can vote. Everybody can vote. Who cares? You got a name? Oh, vote. You got an ID? Oh, don't worry about the ID. But you got to have an ID. You got to be vaccinated in order to have a decent meal. So why don't they do that? Why don't they tie that into voting? You can't vote if you haven't been vaccinated. I doubt they would try that. They would push back big time on that one. So, Andrew, what do you say?
Yeah, I completely agree about the GOP. I've been against Ronna McDaniel for quite some time. She has not been doing a sufficient job for the GOP. You look at some of these people that we have in our party, Jamie Herrera Butler, Adam Kinzinger, Mitt Romney, Lisa Murkowski, Susan Collins, and you've got people like Mitch McConnell, who fought President Trump tooth and nail for every single thing President Trump wanted to get passed. But here you have him jumping on board this infrastructure, which is 2,700 pages of pork. It is pretty unbelievable what we are seeing from the GOP. A lot of disappointments. That's why I think there is such a demand to see someone like Ron DeSantis run for president, because he is not in the House or Senate where so much of these disasters are getting passed. He's lucky out in Florida, he gets to control his own state. But the GOP, yeah, I have not been giving them a dime. I gave some money to President Trump directly, or I will support candidates directly, like Rob said, Laverne Spicer, Joe Kent, Keith Swank. We've had so many of great ones on our show, and those are the people that you need to support. And they will tell you firsthand that they are not getting support from the GOP. The GOP keeps dumping money into the same rhinos that keep getting elected over and over and are not doing a sufficient job.
Not at all doing a sufficient job. And they're the same old people who keep telling us, vote for us, we're going to do this and we're going to do that. And they're doing absolutely nothing. And just going back to Ron DeSantis, I find it interesting how the media, they're trying to attack him now because they're saying, oh, the numbers in Florida, they're bursting at the seams and teachers died. Four teachers died. What they didn't tell you about the four teachers that died, school was not in session. So whatever happened to them, that happened to them without them going to school. You see, they're telling you that teachers die so that you will associate it with going to school. The kids gave it to them. They will give it to the kids. You better mask up.
Are you saying that CNN lied, Rob?
They told a big one this time. I mean, they're known for lying. The Cartoon News Network, the Communist News Network, whatever you want to call them, that's who they are. But it's like, folks, why are they trying to scare people with the mask? They want people overseas in these Arab countries to take off the mask, whereas in America, they're trying to bring the mask to us. Why do you want kids in mask? And when I hear people, you better put your mask on it, this, and the, I'm like, settle down. I wish the truth would come out and they would just let people know the mask is not doing diddly squat, just like the vaccine. I mean, sometimes yeah. I think about the vaccine, I think it's like Kool-Aid. It only lasted for 2 days and that was it. Then you're back out there for free for all.
They keep moving the goalpost, Rob. Like we just heard when this vaccine came out, oh, the vaccinated don't need to wear a mask anymore. They're not going to get sick. There's nothing to worry about for the vaccinated. And here it was, what, maybe 2 months later, and all of a sudden, even the vaccinated are required to wear a mask at all these retail stores like Walmart, all across the country, we're seeing this. It is unbelievable. They keep moving the goalpost. I think the mask mandates are actually going to really hurt the number of people that continue to get vaccinated, because that was inspiration, I guess, for a lot of people to get vaccinated, as they no longer have to wear the mask. Well, if they bring the mask mandate back, there's a lot of people that are going to say, why the hell would I get vaccinated?
Right. And I also think that what we need to think about logically and following the science, and that's something that the left, they're not good at. following the science, this whole thing with the mask and the vaccinations and who need to be vaccinated, is that, as I said earlier on, as far as herd immunity, that needs to be broken down and people need to understand it. And we don't need Dr. Fauci to explain it, because this guy flip-flops and lies and says everything else. And how he covers for himself is that they want to say, well, you know, that's what we knew at the time and things changed. And I have people trying to talk to me and explain it to me. People who don't have a sense about anything. People who know nothing about politics. And you have to know about politics to understand what they're doing. So I have these people just coming up and trying to be so articulate. Well, you know, I think we need to do this because of that. I'm like, hold your brakes, put your brakes on, take it down a notch. And I marvel at them trying to talk about it. And I try not to say, you sound stupid, you know? But I don't, because some of these people, they're associates of mine. Like, what you're saying makes absolutely no sense at all. You're Johnny come lately to the party and you're trying to talk to me about the vaccine, because you've gotten your talking points from CNN, you've gotten your talking points from MSNBC or the Washington Post. And then when you show them, play back the tape of how Dr. Fauci and all these other people have changed the story, they're like, oh, you doctored that. I'm like, okay, fine. You said that I doctored the tape. Why don't you just go look it up on YouTube and you'll have the full transcript. They flipped, flopped, and then flip-flopped. And they got you thinking what they're saying is so right. I mean, the indoctrination and how they were able to indoctrinate people in such a small period of time, it's amazing. But people believe this. They think that if you're vaccinated, you're going to kill someone. Whereas before, it was the unvaccinated. And that if you got vaccinated, you're protected. And that's the reason why people acquiesce and got vaccinated, other than the fact that they had an underlying condition. It's like, well, if I get the vaccine, I won't have to wear my mask. And now they flip the script. And now the vaccinated people have become the threat. Only in America, this is happening.
Yeah. At the same time, we have over 1 million illegals who have crossed over our border already this year.
Oh, my God.
Unvaccinated, a good chance. And when's the last time that you heard Dr. Fauci or Joe Biden criticized in front of a liberal where it didn't immediately get followed up with, yeah, but Trump? They just do not hold any accountability to their own politicians. I think they think that they're just going to be able to blame President Trump for everything in the next 4 years that Joe Biden does wrong. I mean, it is really starting to pile up at this point.
And that's what they're doing. They're blaming Trump for everything. Like you said, we have illegal aliens that are coming across the border. And I remember one border control person said that they're not even testing them and they can't test them because they're not allowed to. But we're told, oh, we're testing every other one. No, you need to test all of them, because if they're not carriers, they're bringing in other germs, because their immune system, or not their immune, but their vaccination system isn't like ours. Ours is a little bit more robust. So they're just coming across. And it's not just the Mexicans. I mean, a majority are Mexicans, but you have people coming across from India. They're flying to Mexico. Where they're getting the money from is anyone's guess. Where they're getting the money from, of course, is George Soros and a lot of these other liberal agencies. How do you think they're getting these attorneys? And what is the end game? Well, one end game is to ensure, as we heard the other day, that there are more people of color than white people here in America. And why is that? Why must it be that way? Think about it. You're deliberately trying to make certain that there are more people of color here than white people. You had TV commentators celebrating that fact. You had Joy Reid saying, oh, we have more people. This is great. Finally, you had the Washington Post writer, Gloria Rubin, came out the other day and did a tweet. This is what she said. A more diverse, more inclusive society. This is fabulous news. Now we need to prevent minority white rule. This was Jennifer Rubin. I think she writes for the Washington Post. After hearing, I think it was last Friday or a couple of days ago, that for the first time ever, the white population seemed to have shrunk. And you have all these people out celebrating. Oh, good, good, good. This is great. Now, let's think about this for a minute. You're celebrating that one group's population has shrunk and that the other has increased. Now, it's one thing to say, okay, this has happened and we need to look in this because this isn't good. But to celebrate because you're already telling that group that you're bad. What do you think will happen? Let's just be honest here. The knuckleheads in that group are going to say, no, this is not right. They're trying to kill me. They're trying to kill people like me. They're going to push back. Talk about racism. Talk about creating fear. talk about creating violence. This is what the left is doing. They're pushing violence. They're asking for violence. Now imagine if the tables were turned and they were to say the Black population is decreasing. We don't know why. Black people would be mad, up in arms. They would be protesting, saying, you're trying to kill us. And the first thing they would run to is, you're trying to kill us with the COVID-19, because they said that it's affecting more people of color than anyone else. And they blame it on lack of health care. No, everything is blamed on lack of health care when it comes to minority communities. But think about it. If they were to say that about Blacks, people would be up in arms. But when you say it about whites, it's okay. You can celebrate it. You can go on the news and you can talk about it. This is so wrong. And as many of our guests have said, this is so, has its roots deep into Marxism. The Bolsheviks did the same thing, pitting groups against the other. We had a guest on not too long ago, Michael Tremogli, who's a writer for the Houston Current. And he talked about this. He's working on a 4-part series on CRT. And he talked about this is what they do. They get you to hate things within your culture, within your society. They get you to hate the culture, the systems. They get you to find fault in it. And then you tear it down and then nothing's left. That's what's happening now. They're getting people to hate each other. Right now, the focus is on white people and men, Black men. They're too toxic. We brought up DaBaby not too long ago, how the LGBTQ community, they're up in arms because he was saying, again, I don't agree with what he said about HIV as to how HIV spread, but he was also making the point that there seems to be an agenda with gay people and that our kids need to experiment. They don't know if they're male or female. They don't know their sexuality until they experiment with everything. What kind of sense does that make? They need to experiment. They need to go out and try it. Sleep with this person and that person. It's an agenda that they're pushing. And if you talk about it, speak out about it, oh, you're homophobic. Why am I homophobic? Because I'm saying this doesn't make any sense. I'm saying that it doesn't make any sense. You want to say that a man can have a baby? A man can have periods? It doesn't make any sense because it can't happen. I don't care how many times you have psychologists and psychiatrists that are saying, oh, no, we did the studies. No, follow the science. These people have issues. Let's just be honest here. Because the next thing up, Andrew, is that someone will say, oh, I'm an alligator. I'm a half-breed. And you have people right now that are mutilating their bodies, their tongs, making their tongs look like snake tongs with a fork. They're putting horns in their heads. They're dyeing their eyes to look like monsters. When does it stop? And why is it that I have to accept that? Why is it that I must accept the fact that you want to be called? I see you and I see a man, but you want me to call you a she. And if I don't, I just committed an offense and I can lose my job or go to jail. Why is it that I must kowtow to you? I must genuflect and say, okay, that's it. I agree. When we know that's wrong.
Yeah, absolutely. And let's not sugarcoat things. To white liberals like Joy Behar and Rachel Maddow, they are excited about there being more minorities than white people in America because they are so racist themselves. They think they have a stranglehold on the minority community. They think that they have these people's votes. They associate minorities with being Democrats, and that's all they are excited about. And it really just comes down to that to a lot of these white liberals is just using the minority community for their votes like we see every single election cycle.
And that should be an affront to Black people that they're taking their votes for granted, that we know automatically you're going to vote Democrat. And as we've said before, we're not going to let the conservatives off because there's much work to be done in this conservative community. And we've had so many Hispanics to come on this show that are running for office or that support President Trump, Hispanics for Trump, that say over and over again that conservatives have got to come into their community. Come into their communities and support them and tell the people what they're about. We don't see that. We don't hear that. Chicago, case in point, conservatives can descend upon Chicago, go into the communities. It will not be comfortable. I say it all the time. Look, it wouldn't be comfortable for me, a Black person, going into the community as a conservative. So I know that it's not going to be comfortable for a white conservative, but we have to do it. We've got to get that. We've got to get out the vote. And reach out to these individuals and let them know we're here for you. You would be surprised that a lot of the conservative platform, a lot of the values are the values that Black and brown people share. But you'll never know it if you don't get out there, because the only thing people see right now is what the liberal media is putting out there. And what they're putting out there is that the Blacks are being oppressed. The police are beating up the Blacks. Whereas we see on TV and the newspaper day in and day out, Black people attacking Asians, Black people attacking whites, Black people attacking other Black people. More Black people die at the hands of Black people than they do of anyone else. But we've got to get out there and change that narrative. We can do it. We cannot allow the liberal media, to keep putting out false information. Joy Reid doesn't care. Joy Reid is a disgusting, evil, racist woman, a homophobe. And she gets on TV and she pontificates lies day in and day out. She has a platform. She's able to do it. Look at Al Sharpton, the same thing. They have a platform and they're able to do it. Ben Crump, a lot of them. And because they know that talking about race will make money, will get the money. And if you notice, everything is tied into racism. COVID-19, who would have ever imagined? I knew it. If you go back and look at some of our earliest shows, I called it. I said, before long, they're going to say that the majority of people dying from COVID-19 are Black and brown people. And wham, there they are. Now they're saying, if you don't get your ID, if you don't get your passport, you can't participate in anything going on in society. And as Billy Primple said, that will affect 72% of Black people because they don't want the vaccine. Why don't they want the vaccine? Well, because Joe Biden and Kamala said that they wouldn't trust a vaccine if it came by Trump. Don't take it. Now they want you to take it. You had many newscasters saying the same thing, many commentators saying, don't take it if it's from Trump, because they wanted to put Trump down. Now they're mad that people aren't taking it. Well, you have no one to blame but yourselves. Now, what Joe Biden needs to do, as I've said before, he needs to pick up the phone and say, Donald Trump, will you please make a public service announcement with me and encourage people to take it? Now, Trump has come out and said, take the vaccine. It's good. Consult with your doctor. Trump has said that. The media keeps saying that he won't. But you know who hasn't come out and said to take it? Barack Obama, Michelle Obama. Now, I'm sure they've taken it, but why won't they come out to the Black community and tell them to take it? Because the Black community is out of sight, out of mind. They gave their big hoity-toity party on Martha's Vineyard with their elitist friends, with Blacks serving them. They could care less about the Black community. They're making their millions. And some of their liberal friends will probably try to make them billionaires. Barack Obama doesn't care about you. You put him in office. You set him up. He has a huge payout. Payday that's coming. So what does he care? He knows that you're going to be loyal to him. And that's one thing I will say about Black people. They are loyal to a product. It is time we dismiss Barack Obama. He was the first Black president. Andrew, I think you said that you supported him when he first ran. That's fine. First Black president, get over it. Now he's the worst president, who's the puppet master for Joe Biden. Let's turn Barack Obama out. We need to call him out for what he is. A zero. He's an empty suit. Who's making money off of our backs. Meanwhile, Chicago is dying. It's unbelievable and sad.
Yeah, well said, Rob. But luckily for us, not only people like Jay, but Joy Behar and Joy Reid have a platform. We have a platform as well. After Dark with Rob and Andrew on America Out Loud. We are here Monday through Friday at 9 Eastern Time on iHeartRadio. We've had on so many great Hispanic candidates that you guys should check out, like Carmen Maria Montiel, Irene Jackson, Montana De La Cruz Hernandez. You can check all those out in the archives. And as Rob said, we've had some great Black candidates on as well, like Joe Collins, Pastor Hawkins, Laverne Spicer, Ruben Young, Billy Primpa, who we just had on tonight, was fantastic. Kathy Barnett. Go to the archives over at AmericaOutLoud.com or go to Spotify or iHeartRadio and check out the podcast archive and listen to all those great shows. We have a lot of great America First candidates running for office in 2022 and beyond. We're very excited. And thank you for joining us tonight on another episode of After Dark with Rob and Andrew on the America Out Loud Radio Network. Find America Out Loud on iHeartRadio, Spotify, or Stitcher, or head on over to AmericaOutLoud.com. Remember, stand for something or you will fall for nothing.